Hello, FPL managers. Welcome to a new episode of the FPL Optimized podcast. This is episode number 91. I am Bas, the casual manager, and my co-host is Sirtab, the data scientist. This is the podcast in which we combine analytics with the good old eye test. Data or grass, or data and grass? That's the question. We're recording now on Thursday night with the Chelsea-Tottenham game being played while we're recording. It will be difficult, therefore, to say too much about game week 35, as many teams, FPL teams, I mean, still have three or four or even more players active in the game tonight. But with the game week 36 deadline coming up already on Friday night, we can't wait much longer and we'll do our best to cover the main topics to help you with your game week 36 decisions. Sirtab, I think we'll have to take a quick look at our game week 35 points anyway, but let's keep in mind that the game week isn't over yet.
Sure. So right now I have 52 points and then you have 47 points. So I'm kind of ahead, thanks to Cucurella's own goal, I should say. Yeah. But you have six players playing today and then I have five. So we will see how it goes. Yeah. We are both on red arrow, right? Like until now, but I don't know if we can turn it to green. I don't, maybe. If one of our differential players score or something. So, well, we both wildcarded this game week, so maybe we can say a few things about it. I felt like this wildcard was a little bit strange. I don't know if that's the case always, but like whoever teams I looked, it felt very similar. Like almost all the same players or very minor changes, like the players who doesn't matter that much. I have only seen a few people with, you know, really different players. Like, for example, some people have De Bruyne, which I enjoyed seeing actually, because, well, but since I'm playing analytically, I try to follow where the, you know, expected value is maximized. So it kind of forced me down to a path where my team is very similar with lots of other people. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And then I'll check your team. We have some differences, but mostly I think the key players are the same. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I think we mentioned it last week, like most people that were wildcarding, you could already see on Twitter that most of the teams looked very similar, you know, just maybe two or three differences. That's it. And indeed, in hindsight, a player like KDB, but also like Havertz, you know, I did mention it last week that Arsenal, we were not looking at it because they don't have any double game weeks. But they are really in good form. And we saw that the last game week again with a Havertz goal and also Saka scoring points. And Arsenal now have a home game against Bournemouth. So I kind of regret that I didn't keep an Arsenal midfielder. But yeah, that's how it goes. Indeed, I mostly looked at the teams with the double game weeks. So far, it didn't pay off. I think both for Chelsea as Tottenham, we couldn't enjoy too many points, even though, of course, Son had a penalty goal. And for me, I'm 47 points indeed. As you mentioned, still six players left, including my captain, Palmer. So let's say that makes it seven. I had a few good things, like especially the Newcastle guys, Isaac and Gordon, you know, 13 and 10 points. So that was good. But on the other hand, you already mentioned Cucurella with the own goal. That doesn't help, of course. And Char getting injured also. Not so happy with that. Same for Ederson. But Ederson might be back, it seems. Let's see. And now we're head-to-head competition. I'm 5 points behind. And I think it will be difficult to catch up because, as you said, most of our players are the same. I have Vicario, so maybe if he saves a penalty, that could help me. or maybe Cucurella with an assist, that could help me too. But otherwise, it will be your game week. But let's see. There is still a chance.
<We'll> see.
Let's see. I'm already happy that all my players are starting, so that's good.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, there was one. I mean, we were just talking about it before we started recording. Madison is on the bench, so I think probably there were some people who have Madison in their wildcard team. So that's of course unfortunate that he's now on the bench.
And he was one of the good picks in terms of the data. Yeah. So it's just unlucky.
I think so. Yeah. All right. Well, there are only three game weeks left. Mm-hmm. 36, 37, 38. I think the fixture ticker is getting a bit less relevant to look at, but maybe we still take a quick look, especially at the top teams.
Yeah, certainly. So at the top of the chart, we have Manchester City again, not surprisingly. And all of their three fixtures are pretty good. I mean, they play against Wolves this game week. And we will see in a minute in the game week odds. But that game feels very one-sided. I mean, a huge clean sheet probability and also a high goal rate expectation.
Okay.
And then they double in game week 37, Fulham and Tottenham, both away. But still, it's a double game week at the very least. And then in game week 38, they play against West Ham at home, and also the title race is still ongoing, so we kind of expect them to play at full strength in most of these games. So in terms of our fixture ticker, all of these three game weeks are making it to the top 10 percentile for Manchester City, and obviously it goes without saying, but you need City players. And then in the second rank, we have Arsenal. They play against Bournemouth this game week. And then Manchester United at the way in game week 37. In game week 38, fixture against Everton is favorable defensively. Their point, like defense projected point average is even higher than Manchester City for that game week. And then we have Chelsea at the third place playing against West Ham this game week, but then they double in game week 37. Well, lots of people have Chelsea players because they were doubling game week 35 too. So game week 37 double is also nice. Nottingham Forest and Brighton.
Yep.
The challenge is they are both away. And then they close the season with a Bournemouth game at home. In the fourth place, we have Liverpool. They keep falling down here, but they play against Tottenham and then Aston Villa. So these two fixtures are meh. But then they play against Wolves in the last game week, and I think that game will be interesting. I mean, that's also Klopp's last game, and also against a very weak side. I mean, you talked about it last episode, but maybe having a Liverpool player or two for that game week might be an interesting idea. That's also what I'm considering. And then comes Tottenham. They have a tough fixture against Liverpool this game week, but then they have a double. They play against Burnley and Manchester City, both at home. And projected point average for that week is pretty good for them. And then they play against Sheffield United at the last game week. And then going quickly over the rest of the teams, Newcastle comes sixth, and they have a double in game week 37. Brighton comes next. Their double is not as good as others. They play against Newcastle and Chelsea in game week 37. But still, they're doubling and their point average is pretty nice. Manchester United is also doubling in game week 37. Their offense point average for the double is not too bad. I mean, they play against Arsenal and Newcastle, but their point average is 6.4 offensively. Might be something to consider. And then we have Nottingham Forest, ninth place. They don't have a double, but they play against Sheffield United this week, Chelsea, and then finally Burnley in game week 38. So relatively okay-ish fixtures. And then finally Everton in the 10th place with Luton Town game this week and then Sheffield United. Both are, you know, not too bad. And then they close the season with an Arsenal game, which is looks pretty tough, at least, you know, what the data is telling. Any comments?
No, I think it looks similar to last week, right? And I think for us, like also my case, pretty good covered for most of the teams. As mentioned, my main concern is Arsenal, especially as they're in the title race, and I only have Gabriel. So I don't have Havertz, I don't have Saka, I don't have Ødegaard. And as you said, Liverpool maybe for the last game, but yeah, of course we still have some transfers, so maybe for that game we could still try to get a Liverpool player in. Yeah. Something to take a look at then. Yeah. All right, let's take a look at the game week odds for game week 36.
It is strange. The first thing you notice when you look at it is Manchester City against Wolves. So their goal expectation is around 3.3. And then City's clean sheet probability is 55, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Rapti used Ederson in his visualization, which I like. He always puts a player to this visualization. And then as an Ederson owner, it also made me happy. Hopefully it will be back. And then, you know, it's a great fixture. Yeah. The thing is, I mean, Wolves' goal expectation for that game is only 0.6, and clean sheet probability is 4%. So looks like it will be one-sided, or that's at least what the betting odds are telling. And then second interesting game is between Arsenal and Bournemouth. Arsenal has a goal expectation around 3.0 with clean sheet probability 44%, which is pretty good. Yeah. Let's go with the goals first. And then the third game with the highest goal expectation is Liverpool against Tottenham. Liverpool's goal expectation for that game is 2.75. But in terms of clean sheet odds, Nottingham Forest against Sheffield United, they have a 31% clean sheet probability, which is also interesting. That's the highest values for this game week. Any comments from you?
You were talking about Manchester City and the high clean sheet odds, but with City you never know, it feels like, right? And I think Wolves with Cunha, I think, you know, if he starts, he's very dangerous, so yeah, you never know. But yeah, I do hope that Ederson will be back as an owner. It looked pretty bad during the weekend, but then yesterday or the day before, the news was out that it was not as bad as expected. But at the same time, they said that they might not take any risks. So that could mean that he misses a game. But I would have been happier if they just made it clearer. And let's say if he would be out, which of course I wouldn't hope for him, but as an FPL player, you know, if we knew that he would be out, then I would make the easy switch to Ortega, which is kind of 2 million less and starting goalkeeper for City. So let's see, you know, in case it does turn out to be that he's out for the rest of the season, then I think I will still do that. But I don't think we'll get such news. So yeah, I'll just start with Ederson, hope he will play. And otherwise, Vicario is my backup. But I was just looking at the clean sheet odds there, and those are very bad with 6% Tottenham away to Liverpool. And for the rest, Arsenal I already mentioned. So I think that's a bit of a worry for everyone who sold their Arsenal players. They have a really good home game now against Bournemouth. And I will be hoping that my Chelsea players will score a few goals instead. Yeah. Against West Ham. Let's see. All right, cool. So that looks good. I think we can then move to the optimal team.
Yeah, and today we will cover two different optimal wildcard teams. The first one will be just wildcard 36, and then the second one will be wildcard 36 with bench boost 37. I don't know if there are many people who still have their wildcards, but we will cover it so that people can see how close they are to the ideal team. And then when game week 37 comes next week, I will try to run a few free hit scenarios too, because I feel like there are some people who are still waiting for game week 37 to use their free hits. But obviously we will also have the bench boost optimals. But yeah, let's start with the optimal wildcard 36 without any other chips. So the optimal team is composed of Raya in the goal, and then Gabriel, Doughty, Ruben Diaz in defense, and also on the bench we have Byrne and Pedro Porro as defenders. In midfield we have Saka, Palmer, Gordon, Son, and also Richarlison. And in forward we have Nico Jackson, Haaland, and Isaac, and the bench goalkeeper is Petrovic. I feel like wildcard 35 was already very similar to this composition. There are a few differences, obviously, like we see Richarlison here. Now that we have more, you know, we think he will play. I think he's is he playing today?
He is okay. Starting.
Oh, he's starting even. Okay. So even, then even this expected minutes might be higher. And this is the FPR review and Mikhail Tokvam's mix data 50-50, and then his expected minutes is around 64 here, so it should be higher then. And then in game week 37, this team rolls the free transfer. Despite I set the free transfer value to zero, so I kind of encourage Solver to use the free transfer, but it's rolling in game week 37.
Okay.
And then for that game week, then you have like 11 doublers. You have Petrovic, Diaz, Byrne, Pedro Porro, Palmer, Gordon, Richarlison, Son, Jackson, Haaland, and Isaac. So the only players you are benching are the players who have only single game that week, with a XP around 105 with this team. And then in game week 38, it sells Diaz for Alexander-Arnold, and then Isaac for Muniz, who is playing against Luton Town. And then that's the end of the season. Let's compare this to the team, which is using game wildcard in game week 36, and then bench boost in 37. So first of all, goalkeeper is different. It has Onana and Vicario as the goalkeepers. And in defense, we have Gabriel, Diaz, Walker, and also Byrne and Pedro Porro are on the bench. And then we have Saka, Palmer, Gordon, Son, Garnacho, instead of Richarlison, in midfield. And then in forward, it has Jackson, Haaland, and Isaac. It sounds like the forward is always the same. There are minor changes in the midfield, and obviously, the main difference is goalkeepers. If you have this team, it sells Saka for Bruno Fernandes in game week 37. Well, we know that Fernandes, I think there were some reports about him being maybe injured. The currently we are assuming that he will be fine by game week 37. And then if you have this, and if you bench boost with this team, the only player who doesn't have a double is Gabriel. And all the others, all the 14 players, remaining players have a double game week. And then your XP is around 130.6. And then this plan actually sells Fernandes for Saka again in game week 38, which is interesting. Some people don't like these kind of like switches, like you buy one player and then sell him again for the player you sold. In game week 38, you have Saka against Everton, which is a good fixture.
Yeah.
Any comments from you, Bas, for these wildcard teams?
No, I think, you know, it's interesting. And also in the first one, that it takes Ruben Diaz as the City defender. I think we talked about it last week. It's quite difficult to pick a City defender because they could always get benched. True. And we saw that it happened last weekend with Ruben Diaz. Maybe that means that now he's safer for the next game weeks because he had this game on the bench, but you never know. On the other hand, Guardiola, he scored a goal at 15 points. So I kind of regretted that I didn't go for him and instead I went for Ederson. So it's a bit the debate, right? Do you go safe and you go with Ederson, or do you try to pick one of the interesting options? And you know, the risk is that it could be on the bench. The same for Walker. I quite like Walker as well. So that's something I noticed. And the other one, Richarlison. I like Richarlison as a pick now that he's starting today. So I think if I would be wildcarding today, I would probably pick him. And I think it's also better for Son. So Son is moving to the left. I think that's usually he plays better there. So I think, that's good news for Spurs. But overall, nothing surprising. No.
Yeah.
It's quite exciting. Game week 37 with the 130 points predicted score. I would like that.
Certainly. I think for people who are bench boosting, it will be obviously an interesting game week, but the EV is pretty high that game week, particularly. About your Guardiola comment, I quickly check the models and like see, you know, what's going on there. If you take the average of all the models, actually Gvardiol is ahead.
Okay.
His total until the end of the season is 15.15. Like this is the average of all the models and then some until the end of the season. And Volker is 13.9 and Diaz is 12.2. So there is obviously like there is a kind of like every model is thinking differently here. But if you check FBI Review and Mikhail Tokman, which are the main models we check, Diaz is ahead of everyone else. So I think, yeah, some of the models are actually favoring Gvardiol. And like we don't now do the like discrepancy analysis between models, but if we were still doing it, we could have actually seen it. But yeah,
good comment. Yeah, that would be an interesting one. As I said, maybe some people think that Ruben Diaz's minutes are now a bit more secured because he had this game on the bench. But it's difficult to say that, you know, that that's the kind of rule. I don't think that's a rule. You just make a guess there. So, yeah. okay. No, no, but it looks good. Exciting. I can't wait to bench boost next week. But the thing that is making it a bit tricky is all the injuries, right? Like Ederson, Char. I mean, we are still quite lucky that we only wildcarded last week, but people that wildcarded before, they had a few more of these injuries, like Gusto at Chelsea or Ait Nouri, who also was injured, and I think again is injured. So that will probably make it also interesting next week for the bench boost because people will face those kind of issues. So yeah, let's cross fingers and let's hope we can bench boost with a full squad.
Yeah, I think you were especially right about, you know, people who wildcarded, and now they are facing some of the troubles. It was a talking point in our analytics Discord. Like, you can wildcard early, and then you can maximize your expected value, sure. Because, like, the model thinks that, you know, everything will stay the same. Right. So since you don't involve stochasticity there, you might get a wrong picture that, oh, in game week 37, I will have a bench boost with this team. But that's rarely the case, right? You get a few like people who doesn't get enough minutes, or they get injured, or maybe there's a doubt if they're injured or not.
Yeah.
So then the value goes down. So that's why wildcarding right before bench boost, or like at least, you know, putting bench boost somewhere you can dead end right after, sometimes useful. I particularly didn't enjoy to wait this long to wildcard, to be honest. Game week 35 was pretty late for me. Yeah. But at least, you know, we are hoping that it will help bench boost 37. And if it doesn't, I don't know. Like, should we play FPL next season? I don't know.
Yeah. That's something we'll decide over summer, right?
Yes.
All right. I think the final chart is captaincy, or do you have anything else? No, captaincy. Let's look at it.
Yeah, captaincy. So Haaland is the top captain this week.
Okay.
Almost every model
Easy.
Has Haaland ahead of everyone else with 7 point, almost 6 EV against Wolves. And then in the second rank, we have Salah against Tottenham with 6.6. And then we have Palmer, 6.6 again. He's playing against West Ham. And then we have Saka, 6.5. And KDB at 6.1. So these are the other options. I mean, Haaland will be popular. And only two models have someone else as their top pick. Fantasy Football Fix has Salah ahead of Saka, ahead of Haaland. Mm-hmm. And Mikael Tokman has Palmer ahead of Haaland. So besides those two, I mean, if you just take the average, Haaland is still clearly ahead.
Yeah.
That's what you are planning to do, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Even though maybe, you know, from an OR point of view, you could say it's better to go for a differential captain if you still want to increase your rank. But yeah, I'm not that type of player. I'm also still competing in a few mini leagues. Yeah, I think, you know, my bet is more on the bench boost, not so much on this week's captaincy. And looking at the other options, like, yeah, Saka, I understand, as mentioned, Arsenal at home against Bournemouth looks interesting. I don't have those Arsenal players. So for me, that's not an option. Salah, I also don't have. And actually, I don't mind. I wouldn't dare myself to go for a Liverpool player. You know, they are struggling a bit. And we saw the kind of argument that Salah had with Klopp last week. So, you never know. I don't think it's guaranteed that he will start. You don't know what's going on there. So for me, the only alternative would be then Palmer against West Ham. Yeah, that's always interesting. Chelsea at home. West Ham is struggling at the moment. So that could be an option. But in this case, City playing for the title at home against Wolves. Yeah, I'll keep it simple. I put it on Haaland. That's for sure. Okay. Yeah. You too, I suppose?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the difference is big enough for me not to consider alternatives.
Okay, great. I think we covered everything then. Did you have something else you wanted to discuss?
So, a few things. The first one is we talked briefly about Fernandez's potential injury. Bruno Fernandez has a great record when it comes to these things. I mean, everyone knows about it, but I think he played almost like through lots of like injuries and whatnot. And then there's a kind of expectation now that even though like there were rumors of him being injured, you know, people kind of expect him to, or like secretly wishing that he will be okay because we just wildcarded, so we don't want to spend it free transfer for someone else. I think one of the other thing that people were mentioning is KDB's play times in remaining games. It could be some of these points I'm mentioning because people will talk about these in the analytics Discord, which might change the optimal play, like depending on what you do. So if you assume that De Bruyne will get more minutes in the remaining games, then actually, yeah, he's also a very good shot, especially, you know, with the double coming up.
Yeah.
And then
I agree. And also, I think it's not really needed anymore to rest players, right? I think like City just has four games left.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of the Champions League. They still play the cup final, so that could be a consideration. But, you know, I think the focus is on winning the league. I think Pep will bring out the strongest team. So, yeah, you're never sure because they have enough good players also on the bench. But I think normally it should look quite good for KDB to start, I think.
Yeah. Getting eliminated from the Champions League, I think, helped his minutes quite a bit. So, So, like, he might be one player that you might want to set his minutes manually, depending on, you know, what you believe his minutes will be. There's also lots of discussions about Guardiola. Like, we also talked very briefly that you can't really trust Pep about, like, which defenders will play. But, yeah, some people think that he will get enough play time in the remaining fixtures so that, you know, his name comes up when you're running a solver. And then there was also another comment about Gusto, and then people are expecting him to be back by game week 36. And then, yeah, in general, I just want to remind people that, the game is very competitive nowadays. That, you know, especially now the analytics players are using lots of tools for decision making and they're having such a great season. I saw this comment and I agree that there is a higher need for using expected minutes adjustments. Like, you need to know like which players might get minutes in the remaining of the games, which kind of affects the optimal decisions quite a bit. So, well, running the solver is fine, and then getting a solution like right away is fine. But, you know, things like if you set Guardiola's minutes a little bit higher, then instead of Diaz, you might get him. And it might be a big difference in terms of, you know, what you do with the remaining budgets and also like everything ties together. So I encourage people now that there are only three game weeks left, especially to pay attention a little bit more to the minutes and then maybe take risks if they are kind of trailing. Like we talked about De Bruyne, but it goes similarly for some of the other players too. If you adjust minutes manually, you might be able to find an interesting edge that you you want to bet on.
Yeah. That's it. No, that's a good point. And I think another player to consider in that kind of category could be Trippier from Newcastle. Because it looked like he was out, but the latest news is that he'll probably be back. And especially with the Newcastle double in game week 37 at home against Brighton and away against United. Yeah, Trippier, as we know, is a very attacking player. So that could be a nice differential if you can fit them in. So that could be something also to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we will wrap things up with a quick look at the mini league.
Yeah, mini league is, well, the game week is still ongoing, but
The game week is still ongoing, and I also saw not much changed. So it's still number one, Sandeep Jaswal. He has 43 points, but I also saw when I looked at his team that he will get Haaland off the bench. I see you already have it in your score here, 48. Mm-hmm. So yeah, looks still quite okay-ish for him, but similar than our scores. So it looks like the competition might get closer. We can also see that here in our mini league. Number two is Jack Bones. Same as last week. Oh, he was also number two. He has 62 points. And I noticed that he has Guardiola in his team. So yeah, that helped him with the 15 pointer there. Mm-hmm. And number three is also the same as last week. It's Hirpal Sahota, 51 points. And what's interesting about his team is that he doesn't have Newcastle players. So he didn't have the Gordon or Isaac points.
Okay.
But instead, he also has Guardiola and he has Saka. So that kind of protected him from that. So yeah, let's see how this final game tonight can maybe change things. But this is what it is now. And yeah, keep it up, guys. Great season for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And a quick comment on the league standings. I was... as I said in the last episode, I asked Jonas if he would consider joining the mini league, and I think he joined, so he's visible here. But next week we might see it, you know, shift in the scoreboard. Some people won't be happy to get pushed down a little bit, but
Sandeep won't be happy. No, sorry, mm-hmm, Sandeep. Mm-hmm. All right, okay, but that was it then for today. This was FPL Optimized Podcast episode number 91. Thanks for listening. Maybe it feels like it was a bit shorter, but that's also because there are just not so many game weeks left. Mm-hmm. Good luck with making your decisions this week. And don't forget that the deadline is on Friday this week. And it feels like it hasn't been on a Friday for a long time. So I think some managers will be surprised by it. What do you think, Sertab?
Yeah. Well, Friday deadlines are always difficult.
Yeah, that will be interesting. I'm already waiting for some WhatsApp messages from my friends on Saturday saying, oh, I didn't know. So kind of counting on that. Let's see. So yeah, we will be back with another episode next week. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you'll get notified when the next episode is out. And if you enjoy our content, you can also make us happy by leaving a positive review. You can find us on X for Sertab. It's at Sertab Bilal. And for me, it's at BelfieBB. And we also have an account for the pod, which is at FPL Optimized. And we are also on YouTube. And maybe before you ask about my shirt, shall I just start about it?
I was about to ask.
Kind of know. I already know what you are asking. Yeah. So yeah, today is a bit special because it's Sunderland 2005-2006 shirt. And yeah, it's not a Premier League team. They're playing in the Championship. So it's kind of to recognize the interesting season in the Championship. Maybe not so much for Sunderland, who are 15th. I just checked, 15th in the league. But well, I didn't have too many other Championship shirts. So, you know, it's this one. And yeah, Leicester already secured promotion, so that's nice. Leicester will be back. And what's also really cool is that Ipswich will likely be the other team. And that's exciting because it's, I don't know if you know Sertab, but Ipswich is a club with a lot of history. Mm-hmm. They actually even won the UEFA Cup back in 1981.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and I looked it up. They got relegated in 2002 and they never made it back since then. So yeah, I think the club and the city must be super excited to come back. I mean, I think it's almost certain to come back to the Premier League. So that will be nice. Another team to consider in FPL. And just one more thing about Sunderland. An interesting fact is that I had a former classmate, Boudewijn Zende. Maybe some people know his name. His nickname was Bolo Zende. He played for them. So that's bit of a personal connection with Sunderland. Yeah. He played for Chelsea as well. And I think also Middlesbrough and a few other teams. So,
Awesome.
Yeah. And so yeah, that's about the shirt. And thanks again to Koen Visser for lending me his shirts. This was one from his collection. And that's it for this week.
Yeah, yeah. And about the Leicester, I just want to mention that I have watched Vardy's goal. And then he absolutely smashed it. I don't know if you have watched it, but like it was an empty goal in front of him. And he just smashed the ball to the goal. It was very...
I didn't see that. I did see some celebration, but I didn't see the goal now.
Yeah. It will be good to see Leicester again.
Yeah. That will be nice. We can again consider Vardy for our teams.
Yeah, if he doesn't retire or anything.
Yeah, if he doesn't retire. Let's see. All right, that was it. Let's wrap it up.
And until next time, stay curious and stay analytical. Goodbye.
Goodbye.